you. Okay, when I was asked, there's one theme, if you didn't notice, coming through the songs and the scripture, and the word is mind. And I'm going to talk about our minds today. And even though I lose mine sometimes, I'll still talk about it. When Roger came home a couple weeks ago and asked me, would you like to do the sermon on the 23rd? I said, without skipping a beat, I said, no. Well, God kept giving to me the scripture that was just read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That kept going through my mind. Say, you know, I didn't want to do it. I have a hard time getting from here to here. So it takes a while for me to put a sermon together. And all of a sudden, all these thoughts kept coming. So that afternoon, I went to Roger and said, I'll do it. See, God doesn't want you to say no when he asks you to. So many things are happening today that mess with our minds. I mean, you're bombarded with TV ads or TV shows. You're bombarded with Facebook, if you're on it, or any kind of media with stuff that people want you to accept as true. And it's kind of scary sometimes when you read some of the stuff that's out there. They want to mess with your minds. And if you don't believe like they believe, someone else believes, it gets hostile. And it never used to be that way. You could talk politics, you could talk religion, and sometimes there was a little, you know, I don't know what the word is, but now it's getting where if I want to give my opinion, I get bombarded with who I am. You're racist. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, the list goes on. So there are really people out there trying to play with your mind. But the mind games didn't start just recently. Back during the wars, it happened. Mind control happened many years ago when the POWs, they were bombarded with stuff in their mind like, oh, your family doesn't care if you come home or not. Your wife doesn't love you. I mean, these horrible things these men were told that played on their minds. In 1978, there was a Guyana tragedy that for the followers of Jim Jones. Now, I see a lot of us out there that would remember that. And talk about mind control. You had 909 people take a drink that killed themselves. That's a lot of minds to mess with. And he tended to pick on people who were really needy. And he was able to offer them whatever they needed. So, I mean, it's kind of scary when you think of how many people died during that time. So even in Hollywood, they make movies about your mind. And some of you might remember this because you're my age or so. But there was a movie called Black and White, Manchurian Candidate. Does anybody remember that? Okay. What it was about these Korean, or was it, yeah, the Korean War. Anyway, the POWs were brainwashed to do anything. In fact, one of the guys who was with his buddies, they told him to shoot him. He gets up and shoots him in the head. Mind control. And the main character, they groomed him to come back to the U.S. and eventually murder some high-ranking government officials. And how they did this was anytime he saw the Queen of Hearts card, if they turned it over and he saw it, they could tell him what to do and he would do it. Well, the whole thing is, The mind control. If you ever want to see the movie, we have it, and you're welcome, because it's really excellent. So then later on, I think it was 2002, they made a movie called Beautiful Mind. Did anybody see that? Well, I'm going to give a little bit of away, so. But this man, it was about a man losing his mind. But it wasn't, we didn't know that. The audience were, you know, everything that he was going through, we thought he was going through. We thought, you know, he had, you know, things were happening. Well, by the end of the movie, you already figured out that his mind was going. But for a while, my mind thought he was really seeing people and espionage and all this. So they were even controlling the people watching the movie because you didn't know what the truth was. Another example. My point is, we let our minds crowd with worry, fear, low self-esteem, and negative thoughts. Let's take a look at worry. Matthew 2 says, just a minute, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient day, sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the Bible's telling you not to worry. Well, that's easier said than done, especially if you're a woman, because that's our job, right? So have you ever worried so much that you can't sleep? I have. And I know there's others out there too. I saw a quote the other day. It said, and I don't know who said it, but this is a quote, "Worry is just the tool of the enemy to take your mind off God's power." Is that not true? Is that not true? Yeah. I remember, let's see, I got to think about if I put, okay. The next one is, what about fear? We all have fears. And I don't mean like I'm afraid of spiders. I mean, that's no, you know, I just step on it and it's gone. But it's real fear that attacks you. And Roger has a song to play called "Fear is a Liar" by Zach Williams. And notice the words. It's a very powerful song.
Told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Yeah. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel.
Song. Who's he talking about? Satan. Right. And when I first started hearing this, I didn't connect it. And then I finally did. Fear is from Satan. I remember when Steve had to go to Iraq the first time. Some of you have heard this, so bear with me. I had such a fear for his life. I was sick, I hated it, I didn't want him to go. Then a pastor took my hands and prayed with me. And he took all that fear away. And I just knew that Steve was going to be okay. Well, then comes the second tour, and my mind starts to go there with the fear. And I said, nope, I'm not going there. I'm not going to let that fear get in my way. And if you pray, he really does answer that. He takes away that fear. 2 Timothy says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So there's scripture. I'm going to be giving you quite a bit. The next cause is low self-esteem, and that's caused by mind games. If you talk to a child, keep calling him stupid, you're stupid, you can't do that, you're stupid, get out of here. They're going to grow up thinking they're stupid, and that's one of the worst things we could ever do to a child. If you tell say there's two sisters, and so-and-so is the beautiful one, she's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Well, the other sister's pretty soon going to think she's the ugly one. Playing with the minds. And if you play with children's minds, it doesn't help them to grow into solid people. Romans, Genesis 4. I marked these because I didn't want to write them all down. I was too lazy. Okay, Genesis 4 says, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. Then Romans 15:7. Sorry about that. Okay. Romans 15:7 says, one more. Okay, Romans 15:7. Sorry, I lost it. Bear with me, please. Maybe I didn't mark that one like I should. Okay. Romans 15:7 says, "Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ has also received us, to the glory of God." So there's scripture telling, you know, be good to yourself, be good to others. Well, we can help. How can we help people fight the low self-esteem? Kindness. Be kind to them. Be positive to them. I've got a thing I do. I've done it for years. When I go out somewhere, into a store, whatever, if I see somebody that I really like their hair or I like their clothes, and I have to, it's got to be true. I can't just tell them that. And I say, "Wow, I just love your haircut." Or, "Wow, that's a beautiful outfit you have on." You don't know down the road what that's going to do for that person. I remember seeing a young lady, beautiful, and I thought she was in college, and I just complimented on her makeup and everything. She was only in high school. You don't know the effect that that might have had. I'd never know, but there's nothing wrong with being kind. There's Psalm 117. Psalm 117:2 says, "For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever." Then Ephesians says, you can tell I don't remember all this scripture. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So there's scripture telling you about kindness and forgiveness. We were all created by God, and we're special to him. So just remember to be kind. And when you see a little child doing something, you know, "Wow, that's really good." They might have colored outside the lines or whatever, but that's not what is important. So be sure to be positive to children. To me, the biggest destroyer is our own of the mind is our own negativity. Example, I said no right away when Roger asked me if I wanted to do the sermon. Didn't even stop think. I said no. I can't do that. I can't get this in my mind onto the paper. Well, talk about being negative. But God gave me the scripture that I needed. And all of a sudden, I was sitting down and writing. And that's not me. So guess who that was? Another example, and my friend's going to get a kick out of this, is I hated winter. And all I did was complain about it and be negative and jealous of those people who get to go where it's warm. But my friend said, "You know, all you're doing is making that worse." Which is true. So what, and it only depressed me, made it worse. So then God gave me this friend to remind me not to be so negative. And I tried to look at winter as a positive, the beauty of it. I don't have to get out on it if I don't want to. I finally quit complaining, looked at the beauty of winter, and thanked God for giving me another winter. Because he could say, "Well, you're not going to have any more winter, zoop." So we have to remember what God gives us. Okay, Nehemiah says, This wasn't the greatest idea. Okay, Nehemiah says, 8:10 says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" That's where you get your joy, is from God. Things may be going awful, but he still gives you that joy. And then Psalm 105. 105:3 says, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Another one. I read a quote once, and you've all heard this, about having a glass with water half. And do you, you know. Well, this guy says, I don't know who said it, but they, or he said, when ask of my cup is half empty or half full, my only response was, I'm thankful I have a cup. I never thought of it that way. Thankful you have the cup that can be either half empty or half full. I've given scriptures that support God wants to fill our heart and mind with. By filling your mind with God's word and positive thought, you will gain peace of mind. We have to remember that. This is the greatest truth teller there is, if you read it and you believe it. The last two scriptures are on peace, because by reading the scripture and believing it, you will have a peace of mind. So John says, John 14:27 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, my peace and I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And the last one is Philippians 4:7. That says, it's 6 and 7, I changed it. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So remember, fill your mind with positive. Fill your mind with God's word, and you will notice a change. Father, we thank you for this day. As we go out through the week, Lord, help us to focus our mind on you, and in everything we do, everything we say. We are so blessed to be able to have someone to go to when our minds are so befuddled. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for each and every person in the pew. In Jesus' name, amen.